This is the Lou Rockwell Show.
Well, boy, it's so great to have today with us Mike Shedlock. Mike is with Sitka Pacific Capital Management, student of libertarianism and Austrian economics, and has a famous blog. And Mish, and that's how Mike is known. Mish, how do people find your blog?
It's real simple. The blog is called Global Economic Trend Analysis. That's a mouthful. The easy way to find me is just do a Google search for Mish, M-I-S-H, take you straight to my blog.
Mish, what's happening with the money supply? And this is obviously a global crisis. It's not just here in the United States. What the heck is happening?
Oh my gosh, money supply is soaring everywhere. The Fed is printing like mad. They're printing like mad in the UK. They're printing in China. The ECB is talking about printing now, and everyone said told me that would never happen because of their hyperinflationary concerns over there. But it is happening, and now we see Jean-Claude Trichet, the chair of the ECB, talking about lowering interest rates below 1%. And everyone presumed that would never happen. So we've got a global response here in an attempt to get more credit into the hands of consumers, but consumers are saturated with credit. They can't take on any more credit. And this is what's essentially wrong with the policies. The problem is consumers are tapped out. They're out of a job. And all of these plans, all of these so-called stimulus packages that every country in the world right now is doing, except New Zealand, I think, seems to be acting in a rational manner at this point. They're all trying to bail out banks so that banks can lend more. Well, what good does that do when consumers are still in debt, out of a job, can't spend, and are scared half to death? So exactly who is it the banks are supposed to lend to? Yet we see, Congress all up in arms, the banks aren't lending. Well, heaven help us if Congress tries to force the banks to lend, because there are no creditworthy borrowers that want to borrow. So that's what's happening. So although money supply is soaring, it's essentially not going anywhere. And we're seeing headlines now across the world. Actually, deflation's gone global. And this is mainly on the basis of all the mainstream media doesn't realize what deflation really is. They're talking about wholesale prices, which actually lag stress in the credit markets. But we're seeing Japan wholesale prices at the biggest drop since 2002. We're seeing German wholesale prices see a record decline in 22 years. We're seeing the Chinese CPI and PPI negative. We're seeing the U.S. CPI on the first year-over-year decline since 1955. And the media is just waking up to this now. They're looking at, oh my God, the deflation threat. Deflation is actually a benefit. And the media and the banks, actually, it's because they're believing the propaganda coming from Geithner, from the Fed, that this is some sort of problem. It's not a problem. Prices need to fall to the point where people can afford to buy stuff. That's the only thing that's going to fix this. Home prices still need to drop, yet we've got all of these preventative measures that they're trying to do to prop up home prices. All that is going to do is delay the recovery. Now we're seeing just a couple of days ago the deflation returns to the UK for the first time since 1960. Again, that's on the basis of what they call the RPI, which is the Retail Price Index, which is actually similar to the U.S. CPI, except that it includes housing. And speaking of that, housing is a consumption good. There's no other way to look at it. And if you do factor in housing into the U.S. CPI, we're at year-over-year 5% declines now in the U.S. Consumer Price Index if one factored in the Case-Shiller Housing Index into it.
You know, Mike, I always am interested in the way the government finagles with the CPI in order to try to make it seem that certain things aren't happening. But I remember so well when, under the Reagan administration, they took housing out of the CPI on the grounds that it was going up too fast. So I guess now they're glad it's not in there because it's going down too fast. although not really fast enough, of course, as you say.
Exactly. But it was the huge mistake that the Greenspan Fed made, ignoring this. They ignored housing going up from 2002 to 2007. It wasn't in their CPI. They didn't look at those numbers. Inflation was actually soaring then, price inflation, at a phenomenal rate, but they didn't see it. To them, that was good inflation. And now they're talking about, and it's so funny, Bernanke's saying, well, maybe we need to consider asset price inflation when we look at what we're doing. And Janet Yellen recently said the same thing. But it's nuts, because 2 years ago, even a year ago, Bernanke, you know, thought the end of the housing decline was over. They didn't see this bubble. So how are they going to react to a bubble that they don't even see? So you know, now they're saying, well, okay, we'll take this into consideration. Well, they wouldn't have, because they didn't see this coming. So the Fed never sees it coming. The Fed is always chasing its own tail. They have these inflationary policies that create these bubbles. The bubbles then pop, and rather than letting the bubbles pop, the first thing the Fed tries to do is blow a bigger bubble. I think housing is the bubble of last resort. It's not coming back. I don't think housing bottoms for another 2 years. My gosh, look at what's happening in the jobs picture. We are losing 600,000 jobs a month. We've been doing that for 5-6 months on end here. And the rate of unemployment, well, the reported rate of unemployment has gone from 7.2 to 8.5 at the same pace. We are going to see unemployment hit close to 10% by the end of the year. Funny thing about that is, in the so-called stress test that they are performing right now, that their worst scenario was that they saw 10.3% rate of unemployment by the end of 2010. We're going to see that possibly within the next 6 months. That's how flawed the stress test is. Of course, they're not even going to report the findings of that stress test to the republic, to the public. They're going to hash it out with the banks first. It's kind of like a teacher grading a student and then asking the student what they thought about it. That's what's going on here. So the student protests, oh my gosh, no, that really shouldn't be a C. That should be a B plus. And you know that's what's going on. You know that they're not going to do an accurate reporting on this, that the results are predetermined, that as Geithner says, the vast majority of banks in the United States are solvent. Well, that's another ridiculous statement in and of itself, because it's meaningless. Who cares if the Bank of Podunk is solvent or not, if the Bank of America, J.P. Morgan, Citigroup, and Wells Fargo are not solvent? That's where the problem's going to be. The vast majority of the small little banks, you know, throughout the country, if they're solvent, that doesn't mean anything in the grand scheme if the top 19 that we're doing the stress test on are insolvent. And I'm sure that they are, but it won't be reported that way.
Mish, what about the increasing fascism we're seeing from an economic standpoint, although I would argue we're seeing it in other aspects too, but what about all these the public-private partnerships? That's, of course, the whole bailout, I guess, but it's getting worse, isn't it?
It absolutely is getting worse, and every day there's another program. I'm reading today that there's going to be more foreclosure prevention programs. My blog, current blog out there, I'm talking about that right now, just looking at what's going on with the GSEs. They keep taking these policies, their failed policies, and they expand them. But the public, the PPIP, the Public-Private Investment Partnership Plan, has got to be the biggest wealth transfer scheme in the history of the world. It's bailing out the bondholders of the largest financial institutions on the backs of the taxpayers. The bidding process is rigged. They've only include a certain number of hand-picked select large institutions that can bid on this. The private institutions are putting up 7% of the capital. 93% of the capital comes from the U.S. taxpayer, so 93% of the losses go to the U.S. taxpayers. And if you look at this as sort of an insurance policy from those companies that have been invited to bid, let's PIMCO, for instance, PIMCO is sitting on a whole slew of corporate bonds, debt of these companies. If it can insure that debt by overbidding on these assets by mere 7% of the money, and they can make their corporate bonds whole for doing that, what a gain for PIMCO at taxpayers' expense. We're also seeing stories that banks are getting, like Bank of America is going to be bidding on Citigroup's stuff. There's such a propensity here for out and out fraud, and you know, yet they have every intention of going ahead with this. In the meantime, they're saying that the banks are well capitalized. Geithner keeps saying that the banks are going to pass the stress test. Well, if the banks are well capitalized, they're going to pass the stress test. They're going to return the TARP money, as Citigroup and Bank of America say. Well, then what do we need this public-private investment plan for? Why do it? If they're going to do this fraudulent scheme to benefit these banks, and in the meantime, the banks are saying, well, you know, that they're solvent and they don't need money. If they don't need money, prove it. Let's cancel the PPIP.
Sounds good to me, Mish. And thanks so much for coming on the show today. Great to hear from you. And to take a look at his blog, just go to Google and put in Mish, M-I-S-H. And Mish, thanks a million.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be on the show. Look forward to doing it. Give me a buzz in a month and we'll do it again.
Yes, sir.
You've been listening to The Lou Rockwell Show. Produced by LouRockwell.com, the best-read libertarian website in the world. If you'd like to advertise on this podcast or on the website, email advertise@LouRockwell.com. And thanks for listening.